Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/voiceamerica or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Our future is missing. Hi, this is Jason Chesler, host of Speaking of Sports, and this is Our Future is Missing. Please be on the lookout for Christopher Fleming. He is 17 years old and went missing April 8, 2011 at 5 p.m. He is African-American and is from Richmond, Virginia. He is 5'10" tall and weighs 145 pounds, with black hair, brown eyes, and is considered an endangered runaway. He may be with a female companion and may have traveled to West Virginia. Christopher has a scar under his chin and his hair may be in braids. If you know of Christopher Fleming's whereabouts, please contact the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children's Hotline at 1-800-THE-LOST. That's 1-800-5678. To see a picture of Christopher Fleming, please click on the link on the Voice America homepage, Our Future is Missing, or go to ourfutureismissing.com. Thank you.
This is VoiceAmericaKids.com.
Whether you have a four-legged friend or a two-legged friend, human or not, you'll want to listen to Paws Around the World starting now on the Voice America Kids channel. Here is your host.
Thank you. Welcome to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Boots.
And I'm Brooklyn.
And our topic today is Journey on the Farm. That's exactly what it is.
That's what it was. It was a journey, that's for sure.
So these past couple weeks, we have actually, Brooklyn and I have experienced some time on a buddy of mine's farm. She owns an Arabian, very, very beautiful animals.
Classy animals.
Arabian, she does dressage, English riding, and they own
very
a farm.
Very English style riding.
Exactly, and I got the opportunity and they want me to start riding with them, but see, I have a little bit of a problem that I haven't talked to them about either, is I'm more of a Western girl, so putting me on English is a...
Boots being proper is just something hard to see.
Well, it's not even that. It's just, okay, I want to explain. I don't even think Brooklyn knows right now the difference between an English writer and a Western writer. What do you know about it? Explain to me.
I know a little bit. I know that English writing is a lot more proper. It's about your composure,
What do you picture when you see an English writer?
I see, like, the tan riding pants, mm-hmm. like, the little whips, everything like that. Really put together, really refined.
Oh, yeah. Like, when I picture, I explained this to my dad. He didn't understand it at all. He's like, what's the difference between English and Western? I said, Dad, okay, picture in your mind, have you ever seen a picture with one of those horses with the tails up, their head more towards their chest and rolled in with their reins, and them sitting straight up with a top hat, and they have their suits with their little tail feathers.
It's almost like they're posing.
That's what dressage is. And dressage is a chapter of English, as well as hunt, which, do you know what hunt is at all?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, we went to a ranch, and on the ranch, they had a big arena full of jumps. And hunt is another way of saying jumping. So hunting is it's a style of saddle. It's a style of bridle. It's a style of riding.
I see.
And today I actually had my first lesson on jumping.
No way.
I was a little bit disappointed when I got on the horse and it did not want to do anything. So
it did
I got
not
on,
listen.
No,
anyway.
It didn't. It was being really stubborn. Her name was Valkyrie and she was beautiful Arabian horse. But
you just
got to
establish a relationship.
Exactly. I do try to do that.
They got to trust you.
I do try to do that. But on our farm journey, we were talking about the Western and the English. And so they asked me to start writing English. And I mentioned to them that I had ridden Western. And they kind of looked down upon Western. Which
they don't really see eye to eye, those two styles.
Exactly.
It's either
exactly.
one or the other. There's no mix. There's no clash. You're either English or you're Western.
Exactly. Because it's almost like sloppy and like
refined.
Put together. Exactly. That's what I was looking for. It's black and white.
Day.
It's black and white.
Exactly.
Because in Western, when I ride Western, it's very neck. When you say neck, it's when I turn, I'm going to slide my hand down on the rein and completely turn the horse around. And in English, when I want the horse to go right, I barely move my elbow in. Mm-hmm. Just slightly. There's such a difference. And I'm used to neck reining where I just kind of turn the horse like I'm riding like a bull or something. I just kind of turn them all over the place. and I actually had an experience where they asked me to get on a horse and they said he was beautiful. I don't exactly know what he was. He was an Egyptian Egyptian. I can't remember the next word with it, but it was one of those horses that were like a little freight train, and it has such mane on it that it has to go on both sides of the neck.
Oh, it parts.
Exactly. It parts because there's so much
massive
hair.
Massive hair.
And then he has feathers, which are, if you ever look at like a beautiful like unicorn or, you mm-hmm. know, they
it's
have
longer
the,
by they, the foot, by the hoof.
Exactly. By the hoofs, there's those little bit of hairs. And so he is all black, very big, and big mane, beautiful tail, feathers on the ends, but he was greenbroken. And if you don't know what greenbroken means, it means like another way of saying greeny or green. You're not fully trained.
He wasn't developed.
Exactly. He had been ridden 40 times. So I get on him and they're like, hey, why don't you start into a trot? So I'm going to walk and I'm like, all right, buddy, let's go. So like I do the to get him to go. And so we get going and he gets real excited. So he just bolts off. And I wasn't, you know, I'm not used to the English saddle and Western saddle. English has no horn and it's all in your legs. But in Western, there's a horn.
There's nothing to hold on
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
Okay,
so
then that's why I've ridden Western.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So he takes off. And I'm used to holding on. That's what Western's all about. Western is staying on your horse. It's all about just staying on your horse. It doesn't matter how you look. You just got to stay on that
that's
horse.
That's what I think is interesting. It's even the differences in the icon of it. Like the exactly. image of it. The mm-hmm. way it's perceived. Like you picture Western riding all loose, dirty cowgirl. And then English is so like, oh, I can't bend my back.
I can't bend my back. I can't lean forward. But then not even that. But I get on and he takes off. So I hear the trainer behind me. She's screaming something. But when a horse takes off, your first instinct is just to like, what does your instinct tell you to do? So I just focused on it, and I'm used to Western. So I'll tell you the climax of the story in just a minute. But you're listening to Voice America Kids Network. The show is Paws Around the World. I'm Boots,
and I'm Brooklyn,
and our topic today is Journey at the Farm. So again, like I was saying, so I get on it, and my instinct from Western is when a horse takes off, you slide your reins all the way down and make it go around backwards in a circle.
I think that's instinctive. Like, that's what I would do. I would try in one direction to try to make it be stable.
Mm-hmm. So I turn him all the way around in a circle, and it makes him stop. But see, the thing is, I was supposed to be riding English, so it was considered very, very sloppy. Mm-hmm. So all the other girls that had been ridden there for a long time were like, oh, wow, you know, you totally messed up on that. But then actually my trainer came up to me and actually I didn't know, but she told the other riders that I was in the right in doing that. It's just two different styles. I'm just have to get used to that. It's two different styles. And I, you know, at heart I'll always be a Western girl, but I think English needs to calm, you know, settle me down, more control on the horse, and actually know what I'm doing in some circumstances.
It's a different experience for you, that's for sure.
Exactly. And so we're actually going to go back into being on the ranch. We've had, I've messed up a couple times because I've actually been on the ranch spending the night there for how many days? Like 6 days now?
It
I've been
like it.
Yeah, 6 days I've been doing the work, waking up in the morning with the morning feed. Exercising them, lunging them, putting their fly mask on, taking care of their wounds. One of them got sick. But two days ago, I believe, I was with one of the workers, my buddy Pat. We were over there, and this horse, his name's Jericho. If you've ever seen the movie Spirit, he looked exactly like
he
that.
Does.
Beautiful.
He's so gorgeous.
Like the yellowish Palomino tint, and then the dark one.
He's a stud.
Down to the, he is a stud. And he is just, he's very... very smart. Very smart horse. Like, no one really rides him too much because he's so smart. He's so smart, and he just... Anyway,
he's a really, really slick horse.
Exactly. So I go over there to help one of the workers, Pat, to put the fly mask on his ears because he just would not let him get near him. So I go in there, and as soon as I walk in there, like, there's a change in the mood. Like, Pat walks out, and I come in, and he comes right up to me and puts his head down. And I just put it right on his head. Anyway, when that was happening, I guess I had forgotten to put the chain on back on the sides.
Uh-oh.
And they actually have a little maneuver where you like slide it out and then slide this thing down and it just keeps it stable for every other horse that's not as smart. Like, they don't figure it out, but he had figured it out. So they had to put a chain.
So you're
and
saying
that
he could figure out how to unchain his
mm-hmm.
gate.
It's every time you go over there, the chain's still locked, but that whole thing is undone.
That is crazy.
The poles slid out, everything. So anyway, I forget to put the chain back on. So I go in and I'm so tired, so I take a farm nap and I go and take, I lay down and I pass out for maybe 5 hours. Anyway, I wake up and a lot of the workers are up and they're usually not up about five. And so I go out there and Anne's like, so what are you going to do? And I was like, that's the owner. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, so one of you guys forgot to put the chain on Jericho. And I was like, oh, really? And she's like, yeah, so he proceeded to walk over and undo two other horses two other horses' stables and let them all out. So this horse, he got out, then he walked over and got his buddy out, then he went over and got his other buddy out, and then they went over and sat by the hay and ate.
Wow, what a smart horse.
I know, he was so smart, And the worker said when he was trying to get him back in the stall, he was so smart that he couldn't even get him to that side of the farm. Because that side of the farm is where you can, like, get him into a corner, and the other side has, like, the doors open and stuff. Uh-huh. There's two sides to this farm, but they're all on one side.
How long did it take him to get him back in his pen?
I don't know. I was sleeping.
I bet that would have been a challenge.
It was. But that was just one of the awesome experiences that I've had. I actually brought Brooklyn with me a couple times now, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
And what did we do there? What did we do?
So we cleaned out a whole stable. It was an adventure.
It wasn't quite a stable, but it was a whole, what was it, like a half of a pasture.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to clean it from weeds because they had a part of it that they'd just forgotten about. And they had to clean it out, and they asked us to clean it out for the baby and the mom.
It was worth it for that beautiful baby horse.
Yeah, well, they just had a beautiful, and his, what is his name? Inceptive, I think it was.
Something like that.
Yeah, and he's beautiful. He's just, when you let him out, he just books it around the entire thing, runs so fast. I've never seen a little horse run as fast as he can.
So much spirit.
He has so much spirit, but he's full Arabian. His father is, Max. Max, that's his father, and his father is a stallion there, and I still see him, and he is such a stud. If he gets as big and as tall and as manly as his father, he is going to be one great horse, one great horse. But let's take a break. I'm Boots.
And I'm Brooklyn.
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Stay connected. Sign up for our newsletter. Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com. Kids these days are so connected to the media that they can't help but be surrounded by news and politics. Today's kids get more information than kids of past generations, and because of that, they have more informed opinions. Kids today may not be able to vote yet, but they can certainly influence voters and issues with their voices. Tune in every week for America Today and talk about the issues and influence the decision makers. America Today airs every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv, just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and Seventh Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Behind the Line is all about the inside of sports from a kid's point of view. This is a look at all of the action from behind the line. Join your host every Wednesday at 3 p.m. whether you're a kid or was a kid at some time in your life. We'll run down all of the scores, talk about the games of the past week, and preview what's coming up in the next week. You'll want to take notes because this is good stuff. The place to be Wednesdays at 3. That's 6 p.m. Eastern is the Voice America Kids channel for Behind the Line. Want to laugh yourself silly over the crazy happenings of the celeb world and beyond? Tune in to Behind the Mask on Voice America Kids. Your hosts will uncover the celebrities you know and love, along with some that you might not know in this country, but they are admired across the world. But it's not just the famous that need to look out. We'll look inside the music biz, stage, and of course, the big screen. Listen to Behind the Mask every Thursday at 8 p.m. on Broadway and 5 p.m. Hollywood side on the Voice America Kids channel. Is Paul's Around the World on the Voice America Kids channel. Now, back to the show.
I can't do it with her laugh like that. Welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids. I'm Brooklyn.
And I'm Boots.
And our topic today is our journey on the farm.
All right, so we were continuing talking about what we did on the farm, me and Brooklyn. Well, so there
cleaning
was
out that stable was, it took an all day, it was an all day journey.
It was a big deal. So it was, picture like, you know, Arizona, that's where we reside, Arizona. it has a lot of, like, you think of your weeds in your backyard. Think of your weeds, but, like, angry. Because they have thorns.
Feisty, dry weeds. And even when they're dry, they're still so deep in the soil. In Arizona soil, if you guys don't know, it's so dry. Like,
you have to, like, beat it with a stick.
Yeah, it's almost like Indian clay. And that's what we don't even have basements in Arizona. Exactly. Because you can't get through our soil.
We have basements, but they're not as common. But anyway, so there was an entire stable full of weeds. So me and Brooklyn look at this and we're like, we're going to conquer it.
We can do it.
We're going to do it. So we do it. And we got, they didn't even ask it. Well, they said, they kind of pushed it. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, this seed's clean.
It would be nice. We'd be happy.
We'd be happy. So we did it. But during it, what we had to do is we had to shovel out each individual weed, each individual
hole,
root.
Turn over every single and weed. And there was 50 plus weeds, I have to say. Oh, more.
At least like 100 plus mm-hmm. weeds. Because those little ones, oh man. Anyway, so we had to do that. Then we had to stick them all in the wheelbarrow and bring them and dump them out. And
I don't like that wheelbarrow.
That was like a half. Altogether, we probably walked about a mile there, back.
Just emptying the leaves.
Anyway, so Brooklyn decides, a great idea.
We're tired. All right, guys.
Let me sit in the wheelbarrow. So I let her sit in the wheelbarrow, but remember what I said about these weeds being deadly? So their little spikes had fallen into the middle.
Tons of little spikes.
And she didn't realize it, I guess, when she sat down. So
I was sitting on it, and I was just fine, because they were all on the side of the wheelbarrow, and that's not where I was sitting until...
I was walking, and I thought it would be a grand idea to push her in the dump pile.
The horse's dump pile. I'm just thinking I'm getting this free little nice ride. La da 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 da.
Boom!
In the dirt, in the horse junk.
Anyway,
with the thorns. The thorns fell all over me from the wheelbarrow. In my butt.
In her butt. They were all bum. Stuck. Yep. Anyway, she gets up, and she's like, I will never forgive you for this.
It hurts so bad. I couldn't believe it. She's just laughing. She took a picture of it.
I did take a picture. I have it on my phone.
This girl, I swear.
But we walked back over, and we did. We cleaned it, and it came out beautiful. Like, the horse
was
went back
there. It was our
masterpiece. It was. So he goes in the back with the baby, and actually, I you don't even know this, but recently, the owner of the entire farm is going out of town, and she asked me to take care of the animals while she's gone, so I have a lot of responsibility
on me.
That
is a really big deal.
There's 17-plus horses and a little bit more. I'm not sure exactly how many, but there's more
there's
than 17.
Dogs, chickens.
Dogs, chickens.
Various cats.
A lot of cats and dogs and chickens. Mm-hmm. But So I have to go there, and I have to take care of them. And she said, since I'm going to be gone, that horse, the baby horse, needs to be walked out into the arena sometimes. And since it's like 3 weeks old.
I would love to do that.
No, you wouldn't. Why? Let me continue talking. So this is what happened. So we walk out, and I'm walking with this horse, and it's maybe three weeks old. And when we're walking, it all of a sudden decides, it's maybe walked on the halter like 3 or 4 times. So it's not used to it. It decides that all of a sudden it wants to rear up. So I'm holding it. So it rears up. I actually have a bruise on my chest.
Oh, goodness.
Because it rears up and hits me right in the chest. And when it hits me in the chest, it, like, pushes off of me. And I'm still holding onto the rope. But then the owner comes over and they play tug of war with its halter back and forth. That little thing is so feisty. And it didn't hurt too bad, but it hurt me enough to, like, oh. My wind just got knocked
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, it's still, you know, horses are babies, but they're still really big.
Yeah, it actually kicked Kuma, and we didn't even introduce Kuma.
We did not. We have a really special guest with
us
here.
We do. That is my dog, Kuma. I've talked about her in previous episodes. She's our German Shepherd mix hybrid. She supposedly has a lot of mixtures in her. I don't know. I'm not going to sit and pinpoint her. She's just a great dog.
But when you look at her, you can definitely tell it's just more than German Shepherd. She has this distinctive other type of look for her.
She's got Chinese eyes, which isn't bad. It's not bad at all. They're pretty. They're beautiful, actually. Mm-hmm. They're like a deep brown. But anyway, she's actually been at the farm with me
every single day, all
these days. And she started out, if you have any dogs, she started out as a city dog, meaning she was kind of scared of the regular things.
Skittish, really skittish.
But have I told you the story about how I got her?
I don't think so.
All right, well, that one was... Okay, this is... So I... Anyway, a buddy of mine, another buddy of mine, he brought me over to just a random house and said, pick out a puppy. But the trick was, I get there, and there's a kennel with just a whole bunch of puppies in it. And I go to get to the door, and there's no door. There's no door on this kennel.
This kennel.
No, no door. It's probably about 5 foot fence, and there's not a door on it. Yeah, about as tall as Brooklyn, but there's no door on it. So I can only figure that they must stick the food in, like, the side, the chain. And then, like...
So they have no interaction. They're
no,
just like...
No.
Who are these people taking
this? I don't know. But I went in there. I jumped the fence, and I grabbed the scaredest one, which was...
to the scaredest one?
I don't know. She ran off, and I was like, I want you.
Your challenge.
Exactly. So I took her... And I'm actually really glad that I took her, because I think if anyone else had taken
They would have given up on her.
Exactly. She, when I first got her, she wouldn't respond to me the first 2 weeks. She wouldn't come near me. She wouldn't, could not come near me. When in the car, she was like shaking.
But
she was
so hesitant. She's so hesitant.
She doesn't trust people. She doesn't trust people at all. And I think that has something to do with those first few days that those puppies, kittens, anything that can be held and should be with humans, interacted with humans, need to be held when they're not. They can't see. They can't smell very good. They don't know what's going on.
It's
going
to make it like
you need to hold
them
during that time because, yeah, exactly. You might as well just stick them out in the wild.
Exactly. Wild animals don't get that attention. So exactly. They're not familiarized with human reaction, and that was what Kuma was doing. She was just very skittish. She was very hesitant. But ever since she's been at the farm, I've seen, like, the biggest change in her.
Exactly. I don't know. I brought her to this farm with us, and she had to... It's natural instinct for dogs want to chase after something. I had to get her used to not chasing after the chickens.
The cats was a big one.
The cats was a really hard one. She chased a cat, didn't hurt it, didn't do anything. And when I first got there, a chicken, she went to get it. She didn't hurt the chicken, just got a couple feathers out of it. But she didn't hurt it. She didn't hurt it. The chicken's fine. But I had to teach her right then that, you know, that's mine. You can't touch that chicken. It is my chicken, not your chicken. And actually right now, the hardest task out of all everything, the chickens, the ducks, the keeping her inside, not running out from the gate, is the garbage.
She likes to eat the garbage.
The garbage. In the kitchen, I will be sitting there. I don't know what. I'll be in another room, and then I'll hear, and I'll be like, Kuma! And I run over there, and the garbage is out, and she's hiding under the coffee table.
Oh, goodness.
Because she knows what's about to happen. Yeah, but she's such a good dog. Now, since she's been at the farm, she hasn't... Oh, and we didn't even mention how dependent this dog is.
This dog is the most codependent dog I've ever seen in my life.
It's my shadow. Like, if I didn't have a shadow, she'd be it. Because
when Kuma's even thirsty, she won't go get a drink until I walk over there.
Until I walk over near the water, and then she'll get a drink.
Exactly. She's like she'll starve one herself. Foot behind you at all times.
And I'm super lucky because I honestly don't think that I could have trained. I trained her, but I don't think I could have trained a crazy dog into her.
Mm-hmm.
I could not have trained any other
and
dog
to be like
her.
It wasn't just basic training. It was almost emotional for
exactly.
her, too. Because I think the way where she came from, whatever may have happened, made her afraid.
Exactly. She's a still puppy. She's not even a year old, but she is... She's just very chill.
And
she's
since
very
she's been
relaxed.
At the farm, I've seen her, like, get to be a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
She gets to run around. She gets to interact.
Not the suburban house style.
Definitely not. And that's what these kind of dogs need.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Another thing is that we're going to start mentioning more after we take a break in a little bit, but we're going to continue talking about our story, is we're going to talk about the difference between what I've personally seen in...
I've noticed it, too, a little bit, too, now that you mentioned
it. In purebreds and in mixes.
More domesticated.
Yes, my dad, actually, he grew up on a farm, too, and he always would say to me when I was growing up, you don't want a purebred. You don't want a purebred. And I'm like, why don't you want a purebred? You don't want a purebred.
Money for the purebred. Exactly.
You want a mix. No. It's actually opposite of what you just said. So we will be talking more about this.
Purebreds are more expensive.
No, you're right. No, purebreds are exactly more expensive, but I actually think that the mixture should be more expensive.
Oh.
That's what I'm thinking.
All right, we'll talk about the difference in a little bit.
We will, but we're going to continue. Okay, but we're going to talk about something exciting. If you like to email the show, send it to voiceamericakidsnetwork@yahoo.com. So what I'm saying right there is if you have any questions, if
wanna
you
want to talk about a topic at all, have a question,
if you have a story,
suggestion of a topic you'd like to hear about,
email voiceamericakids@yahoo.com. Make sure you mention my name, Boots, and
my name, Brooklyn.
Of course, Brooklyn and Boots. And mention the name of our show, which is Paws Around the World. You can't forget it. Paws Around the World. Make sure to email us. We'd love to hear from you. Let's take a break. I'm Boots.
And I'm Brooklyn.
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids Network. Ba-boom.
We're We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Do you believe in the supernatural? Well, some do and some don't, which is why Beyond the Third Dimension looks at both sides. You have one host who believes in ghosts, while the other can't think of anything more ridiculous. Put them together and you get some great discussion and some real discoveries and exploration of the paranormal, and then some. Tune in to Beyond the Third Dimension, airing Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. And try not to be afraid of things that go bump in the night.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
Kids face very tough and very real issues every single day. It can be bad. It can be ugly. Now there's something good that can help. Tune in to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll discuss the issues and provide solutions and connections to solutions that you will be able to use. Our show goes right to the heart of today's kids and beyond. Your parents will probably want to listen in too. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly airs Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern on Voice America Kids. You just love your pets. But sometimes they can get to be a handful. And just when you think you have them under control, that's when things get, well, crazy. For help, tune in to Paws Around the World. You'll get the inside secrets on keeping your pet the friend it's supposed to be, along with stories to keep you warm and fuzzy. Listen Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, walking the fine line between clever
This is Paws Around the World on the Voice America Kids channel. Now, back to the show.
Wait, what do you say again?
I'll do it.
No, I want to do
it. Okay, let's do it together.
Ba-dum. Welcome back to the program of Voice America Kids. I'm Brooklyn.
And I'm Boots.
And our topic today is Journey on the Farm.
Oh, I was going to say Journey to the Zoo. No, we're not
in
the zoo.
I miss the zoo. I miss the zoo. For you guys that weren't listening to us at the time, we had a remote location at the zoo, and it was just such a blast.
Can you say where we went?
I'll try it again.
Go.
Can I think about it? Or
no, it's...
No. Litchfield World Zoo.
No, it was Litchfield Wildlife World Zoo and Aquarium. Ba-boom. I got it.
It doesn't work for me. All right. It just doesn't.
But we were talking about what we were going to talk about, the difference between a purebred and mutts. This is in statistic-wise, but this is just what I've seen so far.
This is purely opinion. Exactly.
So let's hear your opinion. What would you say? Name three differences that you would think who would be, quote-unquote, higher on the ranking, a mutt or a purebred?
Definitely a purebred.
You would think so? Give me three reasons.
Okay, well, okay. Ba-boom. Oh, jeez. You're not going to hear the end of that, I swear. Believe me. Okay, what is it? Okay, good example. The only reason I can understand this as well as I can is because I can see a really good example of it. Golden retrievers.
Mm-hmm.
When they're a family dog, they're really supportive, they're always there, but they've become now loafs.
That's perfect.
My golden retriever, because you remember, like, now you see German shepherds as your guide dogs, as your therapy dogs, as things like that. Before, I remember seeing these beautiful, smart golden retrievers.
And we're not degrading on anyone.
Golden retriever is one of my favorite dogs. He's always been there. He's the biggest bear in the world. He's so fat and cute. I just want to squish him.
And I can't you can't generalize into breeds, which this is something that I found out personally. You can't generalize into breeds, but
every
for
dog
the most
is different.
For the name of the breed that I've seen so far, I have not been impressed with the most recent golden retrievers that I have met. Honestly, golden retrievers in my part, maybe the inbreeding, maybe, I don't know, it could be a mixture of different things, but I have not been impressed with their intelligence.
They are, you know, they're definitely a good family dog for small children and stuff like that, but...
But we're going off of what you're coming from. Anyway, what I was going to talk about is, Brooklyn's seen this too, we've experienced something, difference between a mutt and a purebred. At the farm, you can really see a difference. If you bring a purebred out and you bring a mutt out, my pup sitting underneath me is a mutt. She's a Heinz 57. She's a mixture of everything you can. I don't know.
Dr. Pepper, 23
exactly,
flavors.
Exactly. You. She's a lot of everything. And I think that because of that, she is super smart. Super smart. And
she
I don't
has
mean
a little bit of everything.
And I don't mean that because I have a purebred too. I have a Yorkshire Terrier Bandit. I have a purebred and I have a mutt, and I can see the difference in their intelligence. Bandit, he is very good when it comes to tricks. If I tell him, like a robot almost, he is very good. He will lay, he will sit, he will jump through hoops, he will go around in circles for me.
He'll play dead.
Exactly.
This dog is, it's so like, it's like mechanical. Like she tells him just a little sign, a shake of her hand, and this dog is doing the trick that she wants him to.
But he's not very smart with common sense. Not so much with common sense. He won't figure things out. His mind doesn't figure things out on its own.
It memorizes.
Exactly.
It mimics. And it's for the affection or the treat or the food. They do it for that reason.
And I've seen with Kuma, she's actually solved problems. She's not exactly...
A critical thinker.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. She's not... I mean, she's good with obedience, but she doesn't do the trick. She doesn't do the fancy things.
When you tell her to come, she's going to sit there and look at you for a little bit.
She always does. She always comes, but she kind of thinks about it before. She always come. I haven't had a problem with her coming to me. But you can kind of see, like, the gears turn in her mind. Just the way she figures things out. Like, example, this is one thing that I noticed at the ranch. There's three dogs there at the ranch. There's Little One, Pixie, and Silky. Silky, believe it or not, is actually older than Brooklyn and I. Mm-hmm. She is 18 years old, and she is still so lively. She jumps on to things.
I couldn't believe
around.
It. I could not believe it. I was like, wait, this dog
this
is
dog's
18?
Older than us. Yes.
This dog has more life experience than
I do. Exactly. I know. I was a little bit impressed by that. But anyway, there is one thing that I noticed. When I went to the ranch, and they have this dog there, and it's one of the boarders where they board their horse there, and they just keep it, and they come and go. And they were there. All the dogs were sitting there by the front driveway. My dog, Pixie, Little One, Silky, and then the boarder's dog. The boarder's dog's a purebred. I think it's a long-haired German Shepherd, if I'm correct. So one of my favorite species, German Shepherd. But they come and go. Cars come and go. Anyway, so that dog's always there almost every day, almost every day. But there comes a truck in there, a renter's truck, just someone that I've never met before, comes
new
up
to the farm.
And all the dogs start barking, run over and start barking. But then I see Anne, the owner, she pulls in with her truck. She pulls in with it looks exactly the same truck to me as the other one. But the dogs, all the mutts knew the difference between that truck. But that purebred didn't. Ran over and started barking at it. They recognized the truck and was like, oh, I know that truck.
Mm-hmm.
I know that car.
That,
I've seen
like,
that vehicle
critical
before.
Thinking of it.
Exactly.
Not just reacting.
And
like...
they just slept through it when the car pulled up in the driveway. The other one, on the other hand, chased after it, you know, acted like it would with any other, like, first met car. And all the other ones just recognized the car. I never really recognized that dogs could see cars. And there's so many cars. Like, I can't even recognize his car sometimes. We had an experience, me and Brooklyn and I, where we were supposed to go find my friend in a car. And there were so many cars that we didn't want to just walk up to a random car because we didn't know which car it was.
Exactly. It's the same kind of
exactly. I couldn't even. But the dog somehow could recognize the difference. And it, maybe it was just that dog. Maybe it was. But that was the first thing that kind of was like, huh.
Made you think about it a
exactly.
little bit. Tried to think about the differences.
Another thing is the other dog, I was giving him all water, and I didn't have something to put the cups, the water in. So I cut off a water bottle, and I gave him all water, like a little bit of water bottles. The other one I gave to Kuma, and she tilted the water on its side and put her paw on it and was licking out of it. So it went tilt all the way over. And she was licking it up. I looked over, the other three dogs were doing it. Silky was doing it as well. But then I looked over the German Shepherd that I'd given to and had knocked it over on the floor and was drinking it off the concrete.
Off the floor.
Off the concrete. And it was just simple things like that that you don't really, like, recognize or really realize that I was like, wow, this dog has been, and it's very good with tricks, just as well as Bandit is.
Yeah, that's the connection that I see, that I can put it all together now. It's like, okay, I see Bandit, you tell it to do one thing, it does it. But, you know, you put a huge obstacle in front of it, Bandit's going to look at it and be scared and then look to you. Like, oh, can you please move this for me? Kuma is going to look at it, walk around it, and figure out how to go through it.
Exactly,
you know what I mean?
Exactly. That's totally the way it is. And I've come to realize that. And that's how growing up, too, because we never really had purebreds. We always just had kind of whatever we'd pick up on the street, whatever was a stray. And those were some of our best dogs. So when I meet people and they're like, wow, I just want a purebred for X amount of money, X and Y amount of money.
That's the way my parents are. They're like, oh, we want the name of it. We want the certificate.
We want the title.
Exactly. And I'm like, oh, that's unfortunate. You know,
you're going to lose out on a great dog because of it.
But purebreds are great because they're authentic. You know, especially if you're like dog shows, mm-hmm. you're not going to see them in a dog show.
Exactly. They're not that capable of that. Yeah. But, oh, and another thing that Kuma is she is, since she's so like addicted to me, I guess the way would be, I actually, when I'm riding, I can't even really ride the horse because Kuma will be chasing me around the arena on the horse. Kuma has gone in the arena behind the horse and followed me while
and
I was sitting.
And got kicked by a horse.
Yeah, she has. She's gotten kicked by two horses now.
Because she won't leave your side.
No, she won't leave my side. I'm like, Kuma, don't be dumb. Just please move over to the side. Please move over to the side. But yeah, it's amazing to me the differences in dogs that it's not common for people to notice. To notice the little things and the differences. I can tell you the truth. When I was younger and I would be like, wow, you know, I want a purebred Malamute Husky or either one of those for the longest time. But I wanted a purebred. I didn't know why I wanted a purebred. Just because everyone had talked to me. The dog shows had talked up the name of purebreds.
Exactly.
But see, the sad thing is the shows are talking up the name of it so much that people aren't appreciating the mutts, the rescue dogs. The dogs that need the love the most, because those are the ones that actually can think. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm saying your dog can't think, but it's actually thinking things through. The gears are turning more or less compared to a robot, to my Bandit.
My dog, he's just so cute, but he's definitely in his own world. You know, he's
really your dog. He's definitely. I think he classifies under the loaf.
The loaf. He's a loaf. I love that.
He's cute, though.
Fatty,
he's so cute.
Golden
He's a little sausage, a little bit overweight, but he's very cute.
He is very cute.
But going back on that, don't be one of those people that need the X and Y amount of money purebred. Settle with a German Shepherd. Instead of a purebred German Shepherd, a German Shepherd mix.
Settle for the love of the dog.
The hybrid.
The dog. They're loyal. Exactly. And, you know, don't be missing out because you think, oh, I don't deserve the label of it.
Another reason is Kuma is the most affectionate, moody, stubborn thing I've ever met. She has a personality more than any other dog I've ever had.
I almost feel like in a past life she was a human. She's so, her facial expressions.
She's very facial.
She's so expressive. It's crazy. Let's take a break. I'm Brooklyn.
And I'm Boots.
Keep it right here. You listen to Voice America Kids. Pause around the world.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
The Terrence Rogers Show will take the world by storm. The topics are sometimes newsworthy, sometimes personal, as we explore fashion, entertainment, art, and more. Host Terrence Rogers has seen a lot of life experience in his few years of life. It's this experience that allows him to bring a fresh perspective to the table, and he holds nothing back. Tune in to The Terrence Rogers Show every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. You'll laugh, cry, and most importantly, this show will reach out and touch your life.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
What is Take Two? Take two crazy hosts, put them in front of two microphones, and use your two ears to enjoy the fun, times two. Take Two. We'll go back, way back to the favorite TV shows of our childhood, your parents' childhood. No.
Try again, Chris. Take Two.
We'll take you back to the favorite TV shows of our generation, past and present, and apply them to what's going on in our own lives. Trust us, it'll be a blast. Tune in to Take Two every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. There is so much going on in the tech field.
The Technology Show is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to The Technology Show, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Kids. What are some of the issues that kids face every day? You'll find out when you tune into the appropriately named Today's Kids. Your hosts are here to open the doors to a forum of all kinds of issues. Nothing is off the table here, and because it's on the Voice America Kids channel, you know you're getting a kid's perspective. Tune in every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Today's Kids. Your hosts will lead this forum of engaging conversation on Voice America Kids.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected. This is Paul's Around the World on the Voice America Kids channel. Now, back to the show.
It's all funky. The puppies were weird looking. But they were, I was surprised she actually turned out really cute. She's got a really big face for a long time. Like a really big nose. Like she didn't fit her face. Okay.
No more with them.
Okay. All right, okay. Let's get started. Ba-dum. Welcome to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Boots.
And I'm Brooklyn.
And our topic today is
Journey on the Farm.
On the Farm. Not to the zoo.
Not to the zoo.
All right, so we're going to continue talking about our journey on
our
the farm.
Our adventures. It's always something new. You're always getting to experience something new.
Exactly. All right, so I was told by the owner to go water her plants. And I was like, oh, simple task. I'll go water her plants. So Brooklyn's behind me. And I decided there's a really big tree in the yard. And I was like, wow, this tree looks really old. I think I'm going to water it. So I walked up to it and I started watering and I hit the trunk of it.
And we hear this weird
noise. And I looked down.
Odd.
I looked down and there's this little baby bird that I just splashed with water.
I was like, oh my goodness. There's a baby bird right there.
So I grabbed it because apparently it couldn't fly very much.
It was like hopping almost, and it was squeaking, and it sounded like it didn't know. It was confused. It was like a sad squeak. It was like, there's something wrong with it. We have to help it.
So I ran over there, and I was like, because if you touch a baby bird with your hands, it could go one of two ways. It could go where the mother doesn't accept it anymore.
The mother will completely disown the baby chick.
And it'll just be.
And unfortunately, the chick won't survive most exactly. of the time because it needs that mother. But it's like if you handle the chicken.
Yeah,
then
so you can't have anything that smells like humans.
Exactly. So I ran in.
So I ordered, like, I ordered Brooklyn to run in and grab me a towel. She runs in. She's like, I don't know where to grab. So she grabs the towel and she comes out and we get it and we bring it over to the owner and she's like, oh, well, bring it back over, because I did see the parents over there. I did.
When we tried to get this chick.
Yeah, the parents came down, and I thought I was going to get hit.
Berserk and psycho.
I didn't realize it was the parents at the time. Otherwise, I probably would have just left it there. But I did get it, and then I was like, oh, that must have been the parents, after I had just picked it up already with the towel. And I brought it back over, and I left it there. Fortunately, I did see the parents did come down, and mm-hmm. it did go back up in the tree, because they do have cats around the farm. But it's okay, because I'm pretty sure. Anyway, in that same kind of boat, it was, I don't know what kind of bird it was. It was black with a yellow belly. Mm-hmm. And one day I was sitting out there and I was eating a grapefruit. I was eating a grapefruit with sugar on it and just sitting, and Kuma was running around the yard doing whatever she was doing. And all of a sudden, I see from the corner of my eye, like, something black go down by Kuma, and she, like, freaked out a little bit. And I looked over again, and boom, another one flies down and smacks her in the butt, and then flies back up.
What?
And then another one comes out and gets her in the butt, and I'm like, Kuma, what are you doing?
What is she doing to these birds?
I don't know. I was like, Kuma, get over here. And all these birds are, like, watching her, like, and I've never, ever seen a wild bird come down. And, like, Kuma didn't know what to do.
Were they, like, antagonizing?
They would go down with their little claws and just, like, grab her hair and, like, grab her butt.
Oh, my
And, like,
goodness.
She'd, like, freak out and, like, look at them and, like, run. Because she didn't know what she was doing. But then I realized where she was sniffing was right by a nest. by the tree, and she'd just been over there. I think she was just relieving herself over there by the tree, but the birds did not like it very much. I thought that was so funny because I'd never, ever seen a bird do that. But actually, mentioning wild birds, if Brooklyn just remembers at the farm, there was a big cage there with a little blackbird in there that made like noises.
What was that?
Noises. And anyway, I was talking to her about it. I was like, where did you get this bird? Did you find it in your yard? And she goes, no, my worker hit it with a car on the freeway, and what? I made him get out, and we got him, and it just had a broken wing. And so that's what that bird is over there. And she's the owner. She takes care of so many animals, and she cares about them so much. And she has so many horses. I'll start talking to you a little bit about I've never actually interacted as much as I have been with these stallions. There are three stallions there. They're full-bred Arabian, and they're all different. There's one named Al, and he is purebred Arabian, all white. He is such a stud, Then, actually, there's four. I miss Max. And there's Max. He's a all black Arabian. And then there's Rico. Rico is a crazy. Rico's strong.
He definitely gets all the other ones riled up.
Exactly. I was. I heard the story about how they put, because sometimes during the season, before competitions, if the mares are going in heat and the stallions, they want to get the mares riled up, and it just kind of helps them release stress and gets them ready for the show. So they put a mare next to a stallion in one of the big stables that you see that you can just see through the sides. Uh-huh. And like at the top, there's like an emptiness. Anyway, they said Rico was climbing the walls trying to get his foot over into the other stall. I've seen so many crazy experiences with these stallions and how crazy they are when it comes to the season. It is nuts. And then there's Domingo. Domingo is, I would say, he's the jerk cocky over there.
The cocky one.
He's so cocky. When you walk past him with a mare, he just puts his shoulders up, puts his head up, and his tail like goes up. And he's just
so
trying,
prideful.
He paces back and forth. He tries to whoa the mares. And like, I do have trouble with the mares wanting to go to there. Like, I have to pull them just as bad as when they see food. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to pull them away and drag them down. I had this cool experience with Anne told me one of them just got sick, and it probably had something to do with, remember how I had mentioned I got a mosquito bite that was a welt?
Oh, this welt was nasty, guys.
I had this
on the back
welt.
Of her calf. And
the
it
back.
Was,
it was,
she thought it was a mosquito, but I was like, no, I
was,
don't think so.
It was
so.
Really big, and Anne had said, mentioned that a lot of the horses had been getting it, and it had something to do with, I don't know what it had to do with, but I got it. I got it two places. I got it on my arm, and I got it on my leg. And I think that I have another one. I don't know. But they just itch really, really, really bad. Like, they're not, they just look like a big mosquito bite. Just a really big mosquito bite. Anyway, I think one of the horses had gotten it and got sick from it. Either that or the dust. Because horses get coughed from the dust. That's why you have to minimize the dust in Arizona and spray it down. Actually, I had to do that all morning at 6 a.m. this morning.
Fun stuff.
But, so there's this, and there was this horse, and right as my first couple of days getting there, they had noticed that it was starting to get sick, wouldn't eat its food, wouldn't touch it. Its name was Stiletto. That's the horse's name, Stiletto. It's beautiful, black and gray. And it's kind of skittish. It had only been trained about halfway, green broken. And it doesn't like anyone. When you go in the stall, it'll back up and totally not go near you at all. Like, it doesn't like people. It only likes Anne because mm-hmm. she raised it since it was a baby. And it doesn't like people. And she went in there to give it its medicine, and she had to, like, shoot it. And when you give it its medicine, you had to, like, put it in the side and then close its mouth, and it would, like, freak out and, like, rear up, and she had to, like, hold it down. It was an experience to watch her put the medicine in. And she actually said that the medicine tasted pretty good, but I think it was just the shock of shoving food in your mouth that it didn't like.
For a big animal like that.
Yeah, so she goes in there, and she looks at its mane, and she's like, someone needs to brush Stiletto's mane. And I was like, uh-oh. And she's like, I don't think anyone can do it but me. But she's like, I have to go get more feed. I have to go get more grass feed. And she's like, Boots, can you go brush the mane? So I go in there, and like, I come in with all my stuff, and like, I go in and I bring a carrot in. She doesn't want anything to do with the carrot. Mm-hmm. But actually, by the end of maybe 15 minutes, the horse was obsessed with me. That horse really, really likes me. And I actually found a secret that I told you about. Nobody really knows the secret with horses that...
It really works.
It does work.
I was so surprised because I love, love animals. Of course I do. But horses are intimidating to me. They're really big. They're just really, really, really big.
Yeah, they're really big. And she was having a hard time because with horses, it's kind of hard to get their affection at first because they're kind of in their own little thing. So you either have to find their itch spot, which is usually on their shoulder muscles, right in between their shoulder muscles they love, or right underneath their chest. But there's one secret to get a horse, like,
to familiar,
close,
familiar
yeah,
with
closer
you.
With you, and that is just simply just a little blow into their nostril, just a little, just so they get your their smell. As soon as they get your smell, they will be coming up to your face and actually mm-hmm. liking you. And I showed that to Brooklyn, and it's just a little trick, but I learned it when I was younger and I was riding Western, and all the horses, as soon as you do that, they're just familiar with you. If I can go up to any of those horses that I've done that to already and just do that, and they're familiar with me, it's like, I don't know, maybe they forget, they're not used to me.
Almost
but
like a dog, like they
exactly,
know your scent.
Exactly, as soon as they can smell that scent, it becomes so familiar to them. And I've done that with Stiletto, and now Stiletto really likes me. And I was actually really impressed, because I didn't actually think that horse would like me at all, but because I had to brush her mane yeah. out, and I only got to her mane because when I got to her back tail, she wanted to kick.
Oh,
she wanted
geez.
To kick, because she's sick. She's
exactly.
really sick.
Exactly, well, is she feeling better now? Has she gotten better?
I know
her
that
status?
she doesn't need her medicine day and night now. She just needs it at night. And I'm going to have to be giving her feed while Anne is gone, which is going to be an experience for me. I'll come back with my bruises and my bites. I've actually got bit by the baby. Quite a few times. He's got a little bit of a bite on him. I got bit by Jericho.
I'm really scared of being bit by horse.
Oh, it hurts really, really, really bad. It hurts pretty bad. It really does. But honestly, I hope you guys learned a little bit about Western English. If you guys have any more questions, concerns, stories,
topics,
just want to talk to us,
we'd like to hear from you.
Email us at voiceamericakids@yahoo.com. And make sure you mention my name, Boots.
And my name, Brooklyn.
And mention the name of our show, Pause Around the World.
Don't forget it.
Thanks so much for joining us. You have been listening to Pause Around the World on Voice America Kids Network. Make sure to listen in more often. Ba-doom.
Thanks for tuning in. You can hear Paul's Around the World every week at this same time on Voice America Kids. See you next week.
This is VoiceAmericaKids.com. The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv today.